Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast episode 101. Wow, we are in a new vein here, coming up on 2 years. We just celebrated, had a big fun time with our live recording of episode 100. Yeah. Were you there, Aaron?
I was there.
Are you there? Yeah. I know your sister. We brought your sister on the show.
Really?
The pre-show.
Okay.
I had her. Did she come sit down?
She did.
Yeah,
she did. She was there. Yeah.
Yeah, we were kind of stalling. Pastor
Sunday
Dan.
Morning after first service.
After second.
Outdoors, great time.
Pastor Dan and Jess were gonna be on, and they were, you know, getting.
That day was actually a Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Well, it was a series, but people were in the sanctuary just being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So they got caught up in the sanctuary a little bit longer, and so we were kind of stalling, but it turned out good because the people who were there to be a part of or witness or maybe they just happened to be there. We got to bring them on, and they were listeners. And we tested your sister, and she was a true Rock Life podcaster.
Wow, true.
Because she was like, oh, yeah, I've watched them. But, of course, she shouted you out. She's watched all the episodes you're in. So that means she's going to watch this one. Shout out to Marissa.
Yeah.
Because you're in it. So, anyways, Aroncito is what I call you.
Chico, Pastor.
We are going to talk about today. Obviously, you know, one of the fun things that we get to do in the Rock Life podcast is talk about the different things that we know going on in life,
and
sometimes they're good, sometimes they're challenging, sometimes they don't feel as good, but sometimes they're exciting. And so today we are going to be talking about changing seasons, and in the same way that we are into 101, coming episode 101, coming into 2 years of the podcast.
Wild.
You know, last week we talked about consistency and how do we be consistent. We can recognize that there are changing seasons.
Yeah.
Now I know you are in a new season of, well, I don't know what you want to call it, life, ministry, everything above, all of the above. Maybe give us a little bit of back story or fill that in for us.
Sure, yeah. So just January last month, or almost 2 months ago now, the first is Sunday. This upcoming Sunday is March 1st.
That's crazy.
So we're here. But yeah.
Almost Christmas.
Almost Christmas. Start shopping now, y'all. Start shopping while you can. But yeah, in January 2026 here, stepped into a new role of leading our young adults here. And then coming under you, and then now you've passed the baton to me. And so it was honestly nowhere on my radar. I've been so content behind media and behind cameras, editing and photography, did social media here for our church for a few years.
Yeah.
And then just what God's been able to allow me to be a part of with just ministry locally and then elsewhere. Pastor Dan asked me if I would be willing to take on leading our young adults. And I said, you have my ears. You have my heart. I'm listening. I'm open. Let me get with God and pray before I give you a yes. He said, all right. He said, well, let me know within a week. I said, okay. And I said, well, that's a quick time turnaround.
Yeah.
And I got with God and I said, all right, God, what do you want to do? And I don't want to ever act impulsively. I don't want to ever feel pressured, but really get with God and say, all right, God, what is this? What do you want to do? And I remember when I turned 18, I'm currently 27, but when I turned 18, I remember just, you know, being out of high school, into college, and working at In-N-Out Burger for a few years. And I remember telling God, God, whatever you put in my hands, I want to be a good steward of it. And if that's a person, that's a relationship. If that's wrapping people's double-doubles for dinner, if it's holding a camera and taking photos of moments, I want to be a good steward. And in that moment, praying with God, I said, God, what do you want to do? And he said, will you be found faithful to be a good steward again? And I said, all right. So that was really just confirmation for me. I told Pastor Dan 2 days later, I said, you have my yes. And so January has been a new thing of leading young adults.
Yeah.
And it's been great.
Well, you know, we don't have to get into other details as much as you feel comfortable talking about, but I know that you and I had a conversation when this came about, and it was really cool. And I think, because I think it matters for the listener, because sometimes, you know, some seasons are exciting and some new changes are things that you've been praying for and believing for. And some of them are not. But sometimes they come out of nowhere or they come unexpectedly.
Sure.
And I was thinking about a conversation you and I had where you were describing, again, around this time that Pastor Dan talked to you about this, why. Because shortly before that, another opportunity was presented to you.
Yeah.
That at face value was like, man, that checks a lot of the boxes, I would think. But there was no peace to it.
Correct.
And I remember there was that, like, why? And then you were able to, like, wait. And then shortly after that, this other door gets open.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we don't always spend time thinking about those situations where we see a closed door and it looks like, actually looks like an open door that God is saying, don't go through. And which is, I mean, that's a whole another side things, because sometimes it's not about open and closed doors. Sometimes it's about not going through doors that are actually open.
Right.
Like that's a whole another thing that we don't talk
that
about,
is
right?
A whole
like,
other thing. Yeah.
Or passing up on opportunities because what God is saying, yes, it's an open door, but I don't want you to walk through it, which that's a whole separate thing.
Yeah.
But to this point here, again, as you feel comfortable talking about, here's this opportunity presented to you that at surface level seems exciting, seems to make a lot of sense as far as opportunities go.
Mm-hmm.
But you just felt like it was a no. And then come to find out weeks later, this is Pastor Dan presents this to you. And it's like, oh, that's why.
Right.
And then we go, oh, God, I see what you're doing. And I know maybe you've had listeners, viewers, you've had those, oh, I see what you're doing moments.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've had several in my life. And it's kind of like, oh, those are just beautiful moments because you're like, God, see, you're at work.
That's it.
But in the moment, they're hard. So we should remember, and that's why I want to share it, because to encourage the listener, to be encouraged by the fact that sometimes not walking through an open door is okay, and he's working something out.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there was a time, literally like you mentioned right before, where there was an opportunity that sounded great. My people loved it. It was right up my alley. But I didn't, like you mentioned, I didn't feel peace on it. Not that I didn't feel peace about what God was doing in that. God's doing great things even still. But I knew that I just had this little subtle nudge. That's not it right now.
And it wasn't because nothing was wrong. It wasn't bad.
Was wrong
it wasn't
at all,
like
yeah.
a, it just was not,
and
was
I
no
think
peace.
That goes back to like the sovereignty of God. Like he's Lord over all. He really does direct our steps. He's John 10 says he's a good shepherd and he leads us and he does all things well. And so, yeah, I never really saw it that way, where there's an open door, but doesn't mean that's the door you go through, even though it could be a really well, good door.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, for me, and I think the nice thing about that, it was almost not instantaneously, but I think like a 3-week, 4-week turnaround where I was in this place of decision and this tension, even like, okay, what do I do? What does that look like? But then at the same time, all right, God, I'm just going to put it off and put it in your hands because I don't feel moved right now to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Towards that direction in this moment.
Yeah.
And I think there's a beauty in not, the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have to be persuaded by anything except the Holy Spirit to lead me in the direction he has for my life. And that's for any of us. And so, yeah 4 weeks later, it came up and I said, that's it right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea that was even cooking in the background.
Yeah.
But it was the Lord. And so,
right.
Yeah. What do you say to people that are trying to figure out what, because there's in life, there's many opportunities to go through many different doors.
Yeah.
And I remember one time I was asking you some questions, just personal life, what do I do? And you said, Aaron, I don't think it's necessarily what direction you go. God will bless the decision you make.
Yeah.
Because there's a faith element that, all right, God, I'm doing this in faith. I'm trusting you.
Yeah.
And in that, there's a peace. There's a rest. And I know that if it's unto Jesus, this is the cool thing about God. He can redirect. He can reroute. He can restore. He can fix anything that we're going through. And as long as we're going through the direction that we believe God's taking us. And if it's not it, He's so faithful to redirect us and get us back onto track. And so, yeah, but what do you think about people that are trying to figure out? I have 5 doors right now trying to figure out, what do I do? What do you do?
Well, you know, bless our hearts around here. You know, we're very we're very spiritual people, right? We know that we believe that we can hear the voice of God and the Holy Spirit guides us.
Yeah.
And we deeply care about God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the challenges or the tricky things that I've learned and I'm learning and I've learned it through time and experience and through talking to older, wiser mentors and pastors in my life is that the will of God can be a really trippy thing, right? Because we can almost mystify and over-spiritualize the will of God as this thing, because then all of a sudden, unknowingly, you're inviting a lack of peace into your mind by having the weight of, God, what's your will?
Right.
And then there's this unsettled thing because I want to do the right thing. I want to do the right thing. And I think that's where the conversation stemmed from, because what happens if, like you said, you have several open doors in front of you.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice if it was like, oh my gosh, all these things were closing and that was it. And so I knew it was God.
Yeah.
But I think what I shared with you was something that Pastor Deborah shared with me, or she might've just shared it in a larger group, was that, hey, you know what? Sometimes we don't know, and so we just step out in faith.
Yep.
And God's going to back our play, because the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith.
That's right.
So sometimes when we're stepping out in faith, and we've measured, we've counted the cost, the Bible says that that there's peace that surpasses understanding.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think it's a good measure to say, hey, there's peace on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had peace on this. I'll give you an example. I recently started a master's program.
Yeah, congratulations.
I'm very excited getting my master's in theological studies. And the opportunity just presented itself so quickly.
Mm.
I was like, hey, this is starting. If you want to go, this class starts actually this week.
Oh my gosh.
And it usually when there's a rush situation, that sometimes is a red flag.
Mm.
It was in the middle of our fast, and you know, it really is true when we talk about the advantages of fasting. You're in tune with the Holy Spirit, you're hearing His guidance, you're hearing His voice. I was so sensitive to this Holy Spirit. I was in communication with a friend that was giving me the information for the program. And I remember I was talking to my wife about it. I stepped away to literally go into my closet, which is my prayer closet. Mm-hmm. And I just asked the Holy Spirit, like, what do I do with this?
Right.
And all that flooded my mind were the reasons to not do it.
Mm.
And I was just kind of creating this list of all the reasons why. And I feel like the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, all those reasons that you just came up with are all rooted in fear. And I just felt a peace to do it. I didn't hear an audible voice of God, do this. I didn't hear the trumpets. This is the will of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like there was this prompting that pointed out that all your reasons for no are rooted in fear. And God does not operate in fear.
That's it, yeah.
The Holy Spirit is going to bring us peace. And there was a peace. I was in line with my wife. We were able to make it happen. Now, again, there was fears of the natural. It's been 20 years since I've studied. And what does this mean? What does this look like? Then, you know, if I'm honest, what are people going to think? What does this look like? All those reasons that come up that flood our mind with different decisions.
Right.
They were all rooted in fear. And I had to push those fears down, tell them to go to hell where they belong.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Fear has no place in our minds.
Yeah.
And kind of just go with that decision. And there was a peace about it. And then as it continued to present itself, you see, it's like, oh, God is on this.
Yeah.
And so I think to answer the question, we're stepping out in faith. Now, does that mean it's not going to be hard or that there's going to be challenges with any of our decisions moving forward? Is there going to be something like in your case where that other opportunity that you didn't go down is going to look really shiny one day and you're going to say, oh my gosh, did I make the right decision?
Mm.
Just like for my program, if it gets really difficult, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's because I did the wrong thing. I shouldn't even be here.
Yeah.
And that second guessing, and I think we just have to remind ourselves, you did it in faith, so remain in faith.
That's
and
it.
Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You did it in faith. He was there. You included him in the decision. You got a piece about the decision. Now, what happens if you didn't consult the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you weren't on a fast and didn't go in a prayer closet? I'm not trying to make myself hyper spiritual. I just gave an example of my case. What happens if you stepped into a decision on a whim, on your own, and now you're feeling like, oh my gosh, God, what? Now are you screwed? This is a podcast. We can be a little bit more. No, you're not screwed. You know, like
no, you're not.
Hopefully, Pastor Ned doesn't fire me. Just kidding. But like, you know, we can. There is room again. Then get in faith.
Yep.
Attack the let's get in front of this reason that's presenting itself.
Yeah.
And let's just do what we always do when we come across.
Right.
In other words, let's not dwell on how did I get here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get, as Pastor Jess would say, swords up, shields up.
Yeah.
And let's get in the battle. Let's get in faith. Let's speak the word over this situation, this circumstance, and then we go from here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Lord's gonna have our back.
Yeah, He will.
You know, the Lord is going to have our back. And again, that doesn't mean you do whatever you want and the Lord has your back. I'm just saying when you find yourself in a fight of faith, He's there with us. There are consequences to our decisions. You know, there can be loss. There can be frustration. There can be discouragement. But let's not lose the fight.
That's it. Yeah. I think that's the beauty of like the heart of the Father is because with you, as you mentioned that, he wasn't so concerned with all the things that are in front of you, because the reality is you can do it because He's in you. But He was addressing the heart of what was stopping you.
Good.
And that's a very place where it's like, all right, if we're anything we're doing into life, and I'm learning this, you know, I'm 27, so I'm definitely learning a lot of things still, but I can look back and be like, well, like I couldn't have written that on paper what God did. There's things that you just can't write on paper. And I think that's where it gets good, because then you know it's God. And I think that's the intersection of, all right, I have my plans. And the Bible says, you know, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes who prevail. And so with the root of addressing fear, that's a place where it's like, all right, now I can know that this is not of God. Obviously, right? God hasn't given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I think those are the indicators to say, all right, I can move in this direction. As you mentioned, I remember Pastor Luke one time said this, and it struck a chord in me. He said, God loves your faith, because of course, without faith, it's impossible to please God, but God so blesses your feet. Mm. And I think about Abraham, you know, he had this call in his life, and God said, go. And he's like, where should I go? And God says, you'll know when you get there. And it's this moment, it's like, what do I do? But then that's the very place where he shows up. Because, you know, I think in Timothy it says, right, where even if we are faithless, God is still faithful and true, because he cannot deny himself.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of what's like, all right, I'm operating in faith. That's going to honor God. It's going to please God. And I think it's what it says somewhere in scripture where it says, maybe 1 Corinthians 10:31, where it says, whatever you do, whether you eat or you drink, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And so when you're doing it unto Jesus, you just can't lose. And then that's a place where you see the heart of the Father and say, all right, his whole heart for us is, I want to address the fear.
Yeah.
I want to address the inadequacy or insecurity. I wanted to get to these things, because that's the root of like his fatherhood. He's a good father who does good things for his children. And Matthew says he desires to give us the kingdom.
Yeah.
And there's many different translations of what the kingdom can look like, but one is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And so, all right, if I have joy, if I have peace, I have righteousness, I have peace in the decision where I don't know what to do. If I have joy because I know God's with me, he'll never leave me nor abandon me. And I can step in a righteous way because I'm honoring God with my yes. Even if I don't know what the outcome is going to be like, that's the kingdom of God advancing right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agree with you. Yeah, there's seasons where you don't know what to do. But that's the beauty. It's like when I don't know what to do, my eyes are fixed on you, onto the Lord. And so masters, and you're trying to figure out how to handle this, but as God brought you through a bachelor's, he's going to bring you through a master's.
Well, you know, you're touching on something so perfectly, which is really why we wanted to have the conversation, right? Because to the glory of the Lord and unto the Lord, because the instances we gave were on the positive side, right? Actually, they were the seasons that we are stepping into voluntarily, right? Where, hey, we had a chance to go to the closet, go to the Lord, say, God, is this open door for me, and walk through it. And that's fine and dandy. And prayerfully, that's what many of us will come across that in our Christian life.
Yeah.
But also instances of seasons are things that people are thrust into.
Yep.
That we didn't plan for, that we didn't try to walk in, that we had no choice in. You know, widows and widowers don't voluntarily walk into those seasons, but they're seasons nonetheless.
Yeah.
We've had miscarriages in our life. Those are not seasons and titles that you want to wear.
Yeah.
Right? People have had loss and had sorrow. And so those are seasons nonetheless. So we want to encourage the viewers and listeners in this topic too, because again, there's the celebratory seasons, but there's also these seasons, and which is the beauty. I was thinking about, you know, we recently had a storm here. Here we are in February. We had a late winter storm. And you and I get to see this because we live in the same town.
Yeah.
But did you see that mountain after that, after the snow came so low, man? Yeah. I drive down Baseline and you just see that snow-capped mountain. It's massive. It's
stunning.
Gorgeous.
It is. Yep.
And it made me think about, I just got this thought, like, it's so beautiful. It's so gorgeous right now in winter. It gets kind of brown and dead looking in summer.
Yeah.
But you don't get one without the other, right? Like the beauty of wind, or the cold of winter, you know, the
dead of winter.
Yeah, the dead of winter.
Yeah.
Allows for the germination and the dormancy to come back to life and brings the beauty of spring. And then the hotness of summer that kills things allows things to go. And, you know, and I don't know all the science behind all this stuff. Sure. I just know the seasons rely on one another, and seasons by nature change and start and finish. Right. Mm-hmm. So we are in a world of ebbs and flows of seasons. And so, you know, I don't know who started the quote, but this too shall end comes to mind, right? It's not a scripture.
It's not a scripture, but it's a great saying.
But, you know, it's a saying that we like, hey, we're going to get through it and go through it.
Yeah.
And so, again, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling like, hey, I didn't choose this, that, you know, I'm glad that you feel happy about that decision, but I didn't choose this decision. How do I navigate that? I don't know. Do you have any instances in your life where maybe you got thrust into a season or an unexpected season put you in this place? And then what did you do to redeem it?
Yeah, well, a couple come to mind. In the past few years, there's been a couple deaths in the family that have really been some core people in our family that are just in a moment gone. Mm-hmm. And so with those things, you know, you can't plan for that. Or, you know, I'm just talking on my experience. I mean, there's people who go into a job and they come out and there's no job no more, and they got to figure out how to make this happen. But for my family, we had an aunt who passed away, and then more recently, grandma passed away. And these are things that kind of just start vamping up out of nowhere. And with that, you know, it brought turbulence. There's turbulence in life, and there's storms, and there's things that can really shake you to your core. But I think there was a time where when my aunt had passed away, our family was going through just a lot of tension. And then there was more drama because of finances and houses involved and all these things that, you know, there was a lot of things to get figured out and present to the Lord. And there was just this time where it was a lot. And I remember thinking, God, I don't know what to even do right now. Like there's nothing. But I think, you know, what we learn in church isn't just for a Sunday service. Mm-hmm. These are the things that roll over in life. And that's why I love the local church so much, is because when you're planted, you flourish. And when you flourish, you know, actually know how to apply these things when the storms come. Mm-hmm. And so in this moment, I just being in that moment, and I think it's okay to sit in those things raw, mm-hmm. and the emotions and feeling the weight of that and not having answers. And there's times where you might have frustrations or you're mad at God for something that mm-hmm. You didn't plan it. And here we are, and you're trying to figure out how to storm this weather, right? But I just remember saying, all right, if I actually believe who Jesus says he is, if I know the word of God, then right now I got to call on the God of peace. Mm-hmm. I got to call on the God who is my strength. My family feels like we're reeling right now, but God, would you strengthen my family? And that's what I love about seasons, is because seasons have to change. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, is it Genesis? For sure, it talks in Genesis, but also Ecclesiastes. It says that there's a time and season for everything.
Yeah.
Time to born, a time to die, a time to reap, a time to sow, mm-hmm. a time to mourn, a time to rejoice.
Yeah.
But in all of it and every activity under heaven, God makes everything beautiful in its time. And so there was a time where it was really difficult, but I can tell you now on the other side of it, we've come out of the valley where we're doing great and praise God. And there's still losses that we're still working through, like with my grandma just mm-hmm. passed away 2 months ago, 2 weeks before Christmas. Yeah. That's things you don't necessarily plan for. But I know one thing is that God is an anchor. And fun fact, me and Pastor Tony go to the same gym. And so I see him in there. I'm like, man, I just need to get biceps like him. He's wearing long sleeves right now, but I'm in there. Like, God, help me out, Jesus. But one night I was coming home from the gym late at night. It was like, not late, you know, 10:30 at night. And it was blowing and there was wind and everything. Mm-hmm. And in that moment I was reminded, it's like, wow, like, and of course I'm trying to get in the house. And the part of me is like, I love the rain, so I'm gonna enjoy it, even though it's whipping right now, the wind's blowing. But the part of me is like, I need to get inside because it's late, I need to get a bed. Yeah. And it's ridiculous out here. But I was just reminded of Psalms. I think it's Psalms where he says that the Lord is a strong tower, a refuge, and all who run into him are safe.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that moment as I unlocked the door and I got inside and there was a peace and stillness.
Oh, do you remember what I texted you at one of your late night gym sessions?
Remind me, which one was
it? So you texted me that you were at the gym and you're empty. Oh, yes. And I was like, hey, enjoy that season
enjoy
too.
Enjoy that season, yeah.
Because here I am. I can't. It'd be nice to, you know, because I didn't get to go to the gym that day.
Right.
It was 10 o'clock. You just get to go to an empty gym. I was like, hey, enjoy that season of singleness.
Yeah.
Because here I am at home putting the kids to bed, you know, and both seasons are beautiful, but it's like, hey, they're like, enjoy the season that you're in right now, because on the other side of that, those things change.
Right. Real quick, I'm going to share this real quick. There was a time where I was going through a health journey where I was just feeling really down. My blood levels were all over the place. I was having the irritations and whatnot. And it was really tough. And I remember that time where I was like, God, like I am like tapping out. Like, I don't feel good. Something's wrong. I can't figure out answers. God, what do I do? And I remember that he just spoke to my heart. He says, Aaron, he says, I need you to speak life over yourself right now. Mm. And those are the times where it's often not the most ideal season to be in, but it's a time where you will see the strength of God displayed in a way you would have never known otherwise unless you were in a season like that. Mm. And those are the things that build our faith. And I think about it now. I remember there was a time where I was like just praying through, and it really kind of felt spiritual too, but there's also physical things I was trying to figure out. And after like about a 3 month period, I remember I heard the whisper of the Lord in my quiet time. He says, Aaron, I've transitioned you out of this. And it was because, why? Because I chose to partner with the God who speaks life. Mm-hmm. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come to give us life, life abundantly. He's a good shepherd. Mm-hmm. And whatever we're in, whatever you're in watching, he will lead you out of that season. Whether it's a great season, he's going to lead you through it and make you thrive. But then also, if it's a season that's unexpected and it's wearisome or hard, he'll also lead you through that to the other side. And so That's a good shepherd.
You know, something I learned in a season of grief, you know, it's been a few years now. This year will be 4 years since we were 20 weeks pregnant. We go in for a routine checkup. 20 weeks in, you're not really, you're past that period where where things, the higher risk levels in a pregnancy. And I haven't talked about this on the podcast before. So I'll just kind of sum it up quickly. Yeah. But we find out that, the person, I don't know if they're called, what are they called? People, but that's
the sonogram or the sonogram. Ultrasound people.
Yeah, the ultrasound people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember the guy's face, it almost sounded like I can hear it so vividly. But he was just like, hey, the baby's gone, and, I remember feeling sick instantly. Long story short, we lost the baby. And that was rough. That was hard, as you can imagine. Most difficult on my wife, again, being 20 weeks. And it was our second miscarriage. And towards the end of that year, I remember I was just kind of angry and irritable.
Yeah.
And my wife encouraged me. She's like, you need to go talk to somebody. And I had, with my son, we had worked with a family therapist, a Christian family therapist. She's like, hey, you need to go see him for yourself. I wasn't okay. And there was signs, right?
Yeah.
And so I go to talk to him. And in our first conversation to assess what's going on, he asked me a few questions. And one of the things that he identified was, okay, so you've had essentially like a trauma happen to you. You need to think through what happened, because he was like, so tell me what you felt, what you thought. And I remember one of the key things was, and when I share this story with people, I don't know why this always comes to mind, but I was identifying the things I would practice in my mind, saying like, man, I have four kids. Like that's I was in my mind, I was preparing, and then I was like, oh man, I was looking at minivans.
Oh yeah.
Right. Because I'm like, I'm going to need a bigger car.
Yeah.
And this and that. And so as I was sharing this with the therapist, the counselor, that's what he identified. He's like, that right there. He's like, you have to grieve that. And I think, and he was a Christian counselor, and he was kind of grieving the loss of something, recognizing it and grieving it. So again, you're in a season of loss, of grief. There's a trauma that can maybe happen to you, again, the listener, the watcher today. And sometimes I think we can think the godly thing is to ignore, but that's not the godly thing at all. God felt every emotion.
That's right.
Right? When we were just talking about today in our staff prayer, when Jesus is in the garden and here he is, and he's feeling all the emotions, he's processing all the highs, all the lows. We know Jesus cried. Yeah. We know he was sorrowful. We know that he had to retreat. He was very much in his feels, right? Yeah. And we see it many instances throughout the Gospels where Jesus has to retreat. He gets alone. He's processing. And so it was so helpful to me for the counselor to grieve the loss because a trauma happened to you.
Yeah.
And instead of white knuckling, instead of just grinning and bear it and getting through, especially it's harder for men. I don't know if it's harder for men, but men have a difficult time doing this. Recognizing the loss, mourning the loss,
right?
Feeling, allowing yourself to feel and process those feelings, what that meant. Like, oh man. And then I realized, like, oh, I'm angry. I'm angry because I was supposed to have four kids. I was supposed to need a bigger car. Processing all that really helped me on the other side of it. Partnering with the Holy Spirit, allowing him to heal parts. See, because if I don't process it, I don't recognize where I need treatment.
Yeah, that's so good, Pastor.
So I don't allow the Holy Spirit to touch those parts of my spirit, my soul that need that, right? You're not treating, it's kind of...
So good, Pastor.
I think of, you're probably too young for this. There's this movie called Major Pain. And in the opening credit, there's this montage of this, he's this military guy. And he's on the battlefield and some guy was shot and he's like, I'm hurt. And he'd been shot. He's like, where does it hurt? And he's like, my leg, it's been blown off. Or it's kind of supposed to be funny, lighthearted thing. And he's like, okay, close your eyes. And he breaks his finger. And he's like, oh, my finger. Gosh. He's like, your leg doesn't hurt anymore.
Oh, Lord.
So, I mean, the reason why it comes to mind is because if you don't recognize where the pains are, then you don't allow the Holy Spirit to heal.
To
and
touch it.
And so it's not spiritual. It's not more spiritual. It's not more holy to just, you know, not recognize these things.
Well, you got to finish the story, though. That wasn't the end. Then you end up having.
So, So that was our last. That's kind of where we're at. So there was. And you know, so here we were after this miscarriage. And, you know, we have our three beautiful children.
Yeah.
And we're so blessed and we're so grateful. And again, I think you're referring to we did have a miscarriage earlier. We had a miscarriage in the time after our oldest son. We have this 8.5 year break because we had a miscarriage and challenges getting pregnant. So we had these two beautiful gifts and their babies, and it's so great. And in fact, now that you say that, I was just texting my wife this morning because she's out of town. Help me, Lord. She's out of town, and I have all the kids.
Bless the Lord.
I took a picture of the baby. They were all laying down together, and she's like, "Look at these gifts, and they're just beautiful, beautiful gifts." And so again, there's these seasons. They're tough, and maybe you can relate. You know, I know that as we kind of come in conclusion here, we went off, but I know that the idea is there are seasons. I think it's a great conversation because we recognize there's highs, there's lows.
Yeah,
stay in faith in all of it.
Yes,
well, be faithful to the Lord. He is more than we're faithful. He's faithful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? More than we're faithful, he is faithful. He does not change who he is. In fact, scripture talks about that, right? Yeah. Even when we're not, he is.
Yep.
And that's the beautiful part. And again, there's instances. I know we've each shared different instances in our lives. And I know you listening have instances in your life of high seasons and low seasons and challenges.
Right.
But
I think about Jesus, you know, when Lazarus, right? They're calling for Jesus and Lazarus is dying. He ends up being dead. It's like 4 days passed, and now it's like, well, Thursday's like, this guy's gone. You know, he's starting to smell and all this stuff. And Jesus sits in that.
Yeah.
Like, fully aware he's a resurrection in the life. Fully aware he's literally going to raise Lazarus back from the dead.
Yeah.
And it's the shortest scripture in the Bible, but maybe it's the longest because how long it took to get to that, right? But there's this scripture that just says Jesus wept. And it's like, we can easily pass by that. Okay, what's happening here? But no, like, there's that part that God, as going back to the Father, he wants to sit with his children.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wants to sit with you in that. And he did sit with you in that. And
yeah.
I remember even Ange, one time a young adult is mentioning how she just went to the edge of the ocean one day and just was letting out, you know, her grief and sound. And in that, God met her there. And there's something about, you know, there is grief and there is loss and there's seasons that aren't expected. But Jesus, as he wept and felt that humanity, yet he went in and brought resurrection out of it. And I think that's a cool thing is that when we're attached to Jesus, the truth is that he is life. And everything he breathes on, it comes to life, you know. And even with miscarriages, oh my gosh, I can only imagine how that felt. But yet you want to be a dad of four, but now you're actually a dad of five and two arches in heaven. Like you'll meet one day.
Amen.
You know? And
Amen.
So that's the beauty that he brings beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, you know. And he's good and he's with us and he'll never leave us. And so there's comfort in that.
Good stuff, Aaron. Hey, thanks for your time. Let me pray and close this out. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Jesus. We are grateful. Lord God, we thank you that you are always on the throne, Lord. You don't step down for anything. You stay interceding for us, praying for us, Lord God. So we thank you today, Lord. I pray for every listener, every person watching, that they would be encouraged, that they would be blessed, Lord, that regardless of the season that they find themselves in, that they would find their hope and their peace in you, the God of peace. Lord God, you are our shalom. You are the Prince of Peace, Lord God. And so we thank you for staying true to and faithful to loving us, Lord God. And so we bless those listening, bless those watching right where they are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Love you guys. Hey, until next time, like, comment, share, subscribe. We'll see you. Love you.